Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jaro, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jaro.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jaro.
All right, here we are on a cold February day and episode number 33 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Mike, how have you been?
Been good. Excited for number 33. We're really getting up there, huh?
Yeah, I know. The number is really starting to get pretty kind of high. It's kind of cool to think about that we've been doing this for this is into our second year now, and just keep plugging along. Super thankful for all the listeners all of you guys who are tuning in right now and have listened in the past. So we appreciate the comments that you guys send our way, and hearing that you're listening to us is always kind of nice for sure. Mike, tell me about your running. What's it been like the last 3 weeks?
Well, been a little light, honestly. I was in a groove and then kind of got out of the groove, and now it's been too cold and low motivation. So, you know, not excellent, but I'll take it when it comes, you know?
You know, I think that low motivation thing is something we can maybe talk about a little bit later in the podcast too. But from what I've chatted with people, and even experiencing myself a little bit, that's exceedingly common right now. It feels like so many people are just kind of not super jazzed about it. And definitely the cold and the darkness plays into that for sure. So, let's talk about that a little bit later on in the podcast.
Yeah, you know, kind of getting over that past the new year, new me kind of excitement and...
right. That wears off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know me personally, like I had a streak going, I don't know, like 3 months or so, not a huge, huge streak, but I had another little mini streak that I was going, and that just ended, I don't know, a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. It was just on day when I was just like, well, I got kind of busy, and when I wanted to run, it didn't happen, and then thought I could squeak it in, and just it didn't work out. And I started making kind of little excuses, and finally I was just like, screw it, I'm not going to go today. I'm going to end my streak, and you know. And once that happens, then it becomes for me anyway. It's easy to just take another day off or do it again later on in the week or whatever. It's like it's easier to carry on that momentum of day after day after day, and then once you stop, then it's easy to kind of just stay stopped, you know, the body at rest wants to stay at rest kind of a deal.
Right. Maybe those streakers are onto something, huh?
I was never a huge, I guess, believer or, you know, whatever. People could certainly do whatever they wanted, but I was like, yeah, okay, that's a cool idea, but I don't get the value of it. But now, having done a couple of mini streaks, you know, 100 days, 90 days, yeah, I totally do get it. Absolutely. There is that momentum aspect of it where it just becomes what you do, you know.
Right.
Certainly there's always times when you don't want to go run and you go do it anyway. And
right.
you're pleased that you do. I mean, everybody's pretty experienced with that. But to do it, you know, day in and day out is it's pretty impressive. And I definitely believe that it's actually – I used to think it can't be good for your running, but now I actually think it's good for your running.
Yeah. Huh. So, I mean, how did you feel when you broke your recent mini streak?
I was okay with it. So I was okay with it because I didn't want the streak to be sort of dictating me too much. I really wanted to feel like I was in control of it a little bit. And I think by breaking it, it did sort of somewhat prove that, okay, yeah, I'm not letting it control me too much. but like I said, what can happen, and certainly for me and I'm sure some of the listeners out there too, is when I do get in that momentum of not doing anything, it's easy to stay in that momentum of not doing anything. Mm-hmm. That's the danger of then therefore breaking the streak. Right. So it like it requires a whole nother jump start to get rolling again.
Right. Do you think that it is just a random thing? Oh, you know, I've run like 60 days in a row now, or is it like day one, I'm starting the streak today?
I think for me, when it starts to like, I start to pay attention to it, is even like 2 or 3 weeks in, I'm like, oh, okay, I actually haven't taken a day off yet this month or whatever. And then it becomes something that like, okay, let's just keep it going, keep it going. And then after a month or two of, and I have nowhere near like a Kyle Sather streak, or lots of other listeners, I'm sure, have gone well beyond 100 days. Mm-hmm. But for me, like a couple of months in, and I'm definitely got the momentum, and it's just becomes a thing that I'm doing for sure.
Cool. Well, should we get into some recent race results?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. We actually have some, which is a rarity for the past 12 months or so.
Yeah, it is. And we're definitely not seeing our traditional kind of run-of-the-mill, races still. It seems like every race type event that's coming along has a little bit different format and setup. And we do have results from at least one race in the last couple of weeks, the Chester Rim 5K, which is part of the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series. And I guess I can't 100% tell. Maybe any listeners out there can kind of fill us in what the kind of the setup with this is. I think this was kind of like a maybe the course was set up and you can just kind of do the course any time of the day and self-report your times. I don't know. Did you have any insight, Tony, on the Chester Rim 5K, which looks like January 23rd?
Yeah, I think that was the case where they kind of, you knew what the route was. Mm-hmm. Definitely helpful if you kind of knew the trails in there a little bit. It's going to be certainly easier. You're going to look at the map that they provide and totally understand what that route is. But I think that was the case where they, here's the route, go do it and report back your time, just like you said.
Hmm. Yeah, either way, we did have some good results, 25 finishers. First place was Mark Grindy with a 24.09. Second place, Greg Robertson, who is a former guest on the Duluth Rundown interview section, 25.06. And then Andy Holock, the race director, one of two race directors, I should say, 26.01. And for the women's side, we had Tammy Brond, first place with 30 minutes flat. Lisa Byrne, who's also been on the Duluth Rundown podcast, 32.07. And Renee Allen with a 36.08. So good to see, some event results of some type at least coming in from the Chester Rim 5K.
Yeah, it's really cool just to hear that section again of the podcast and race results and top three. And it's really nice to have. I'm glad. I hope everybody had fun doing the race. I'm glad that Andy and Kim were able to do that. Hopefully it worked out for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like. Oh, I got dogs barking. I'll have to edit that out. Remember? I should edit that out.
No, you keep it in. It's Duluth.
Whoa, dogs. Yeah, it looks like we also have, we'll have some results coming in soon as well. Two other events in the next couple weeks from the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series. I believe today the Hartley Park 10K is going on or went on this morning, which is, 10K trail run in Duluth's Hartley Park. And it looks like that race is a kind of a wave start format from what I can see. So that's definitely exciting.
Yeah, super cool. I wish I had sort of paid attention to that. I definitely would have gone and done that. That would have been pretty sweet to actually have a kind of a race.
Right. Yeah. And this was set up maybe before the pandemic, but I think this type event is especially suitable for a spread out kind of race course, and that is the final event in the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series, which is the Frozen 4 Hour, which is a fixed time 4 hour race. Log as many miles as you can, and that is on February 20th, 2021, Saturday. And so that appears to be on, a set course, and kind of how you tally your time is on, a watch or timer, GPS device, I guess, of some type, ideally, where you just stop your watch at 4 hours exactly and self-report your time. And so that's what I can tell from the Duluth Winter Trail Series.com website. And so looks like there is another opportunity to get out for a race this winter yet.
And is that in Leicester again?
That is at Leicester Park, yes. And you can sign up on DuluthWinterTrailSeries.com. So definitely check that out for more information.
Cool. How long is that loop that they do?
It is a 5K loop, I believe.
So you just do the 5K loop as many times as you can within 4 hours.
Yeah, that's the that appears to be the setup for sure.
No.
Let me double check on that, but I think that's how it was last year. 5K maybe seems a little too tight. It is a 5K loop. Yeah, so the Frozen 4 Hours, a 5K loop in Leicester Park, for 4 hours. Yep.
Yeah, cool. That seems reasonable.
Yeah. So, also another race status update is with the NMTC spring and fall trail races and Voyager 50-mile Eugene Curnow Trail Marathon. They've put out a status update. The update's not very interesting. There is no update. So, pretty much the update is that they're waiting for COVID restrictions to kind of be more clear, and we'll release an announcement, hopefully, I guess, when there's enough time to be sure that the it's good information, I guess. I don't know.
So I think that's still good to at least put that out there that, you're still keeping an eye on it. You're just waiting for more information. I think that's good. That's just communication with the people who want to do the race, who are curious about whether or not the race is going to happen. It's better
Yeah.
for them to know at least something than just to be totally in the blind. So.
Yeah. And there's another note about monthly updates. So I think at least NMTC, it looks like, is dedicated to providing timely updates. And I think every other of our favorite races hopefully will do the same as the spring progresses and kind of race season, traditional race season, gets into full swing.
Yeah, for sure.
What else we got? Maybe a trails update. I know you've been on a couple trails, Tony. Maybe you want to give a little update on kind of running conditions around Duluth.
Yeah, from what I've seen in some of the trails, they've been outstanding. The single track trails, specifically Hartley, is the one I've been in by far the most, and the snow dogs did a great job in there grooming that stuff down, and we got some warm snow, some warm weather with kind of warm, soft snow. And while oftentimes you think, well, that's going to be bad for the trails, if they can get groomed and therefore compacted evenly with those snow dogs, it's actually good because that warm snow compacts better. And if you can get the nice uniformity with it, then it sets up overnight and then it hardens and then it's a nice smooth surface. It's when it's warm and then gets post holed, that's when it's bad because then those post holes firm up and then then it becomes like a lunar landscape of these foot sized craters everywhere. So
Right.
the warm weather has been good. coupled with the snow dogs and probably some snowshoers as well, but really the snow dogs and the trail work that the COGS people have done, and then let it sit up overnight, has just been outstanding. And honestly, before the last snow that we got, you could probably just wear road shoes on the trails and be just fine. They were that good. I would always wear a trail shoe just because, but they were just outstanding. And even some of the, I don't know if Mike, if you know the, some of the little kind of trails off of Vermilion, kind of by the Beaver Pond and stuff on both the east and west side of Vermilion. I was just in there yesterday, and while that stuff is all what we call, what's kind of described as user-defined trails, they're not any that the city maintains or anything like that. And so those tend to be a little more rough. Even those are still well-established and packed down pretty well, that I ran through there yesterday and some of those trails. That was a blast, too. So, yeah, the trails have been great. And now with this cold streak that we'll talk about here in a little bit, too, that's really just going to firm everything up. So I think the trails are going to be outstanding.
So you're saying Hartley Park runners are probably having good conditions out there.
Absolutely. Yep. That's why I was like, oh, I wish I had kind of paid attention and known about it, because I've been in Hartley so many times in the last, I don't know, 6 weeks. And I know what the conditions are like in there, and it's great.
Yeah, it's interesting how that is, winter trail running. When the getting's good, it is really good. And when it's bad, it is in bad shape. It's hard to find kind of okay trail conditions in the winter.
That's very true. Especially in the winter, when the winter trails are bad, they're awful. But when they're good, say, for instance, Root Canal Guardrail Loop in Hartley, they're in the wintertime when they're groomed really well, they're actually less technical than they are in the summertime, because you're covering up all the roots and rocks with one even smooth surface. It's essentially a road of snow.
So yeah, right.
It's kind of pavement, let me ask you this, Mike. Speaking of guardrail, when you go into Hartley, I've always been curious about this with just other runners. In fact, people can call in or not call in, but email us or Facebook post. Do you do guardrail clockwise or counterclockwise?
I do both for sure, but I would say what seems to be more normal to me is counterclockwise.
Yeah, that's I always do it clockwise. Always. I've probably done it counterclockwise maybe 3 times ever, and what? I think twice with other people who are leading the way. I never do it counterclockwise, and I feel like you're right. I think most people do it counterclockwise. I don't know why I go that way that I do. I come from Romness and everything. You get to the Four Corners. I usually don't do Fisherman. I usually do Romness, and I get to the Four Corners, and then I just kind of stay left and then just keep on rolling around. But I think everybody else goes right.
Interesting. Yeah. I try and switch it up personally. I like to do it fairly evenly, but counterclockwise just seems a little more normal to me for some reason.
So if you switch it up, because I can't speak to this at all, do you have a favorite direction then? Do you prefer?
There's not one that I prefer. I guess counterclockwise maybe slightly, for no apparent reason. It seems more right. It seems more correct,
In a way, I think they're somewhat similar in terms of how fast could you run each half, because I feel like the peak of the hill, regardless of which direction you go, is roughly the halfway point of if you do the big loop of guardrail. I feel like you kind of reach the apex of the incline almost at the same spot, regardless of if you're going counterclockwise or clockwise. So speed-wise, I don't know if there is a faster direction or not.
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either, but... Yeah. Huh. I don't know. I'd really be interested to hear what some of our listeners have to say about that for guardrail. Do you do it clockwise or counterclockwise, and why? Or both, and why?
And if you're listening and you haven't run in Hartley Park in the guardrail loop, get out there, do it one each way, and let us know which is your favorite.
Right. That would I think the loop's something like 5.5 miles now, I think. Maybe that's all the way from like Old Hartley Road and doing Root Canal and the Meadow and stuff. I can't remember. I don't ever wear a GPS watch, so I've lost track on those. But yeah. I think that's what it is. I think it's like Root Canal, Meadow, Guardrail, Tunnel Trail, back to Old Hartley Road. I think that's something like 5.5 miles.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, Mike, right now, I mean, I don't know if you got out today, but here we are. We're recording on February 6th, and it's cold out there. I mean, it's our first cold snap that we've had for this winter. I mean, I know it was like 4 below when I was running today. Tomorrow's looking maybe about the same or a touch colder, and the wind chill is really, the numbers are really low. What do you think? What happens to you when we get these Arctic snaps?
Well, a couple things. First of all, it's interesting. I feel like, you know, when we get our first 30-degree day, at least for me personally, I almost like forget how to dress, right? And I just can't seem to get it right. And then it takes me like a week of, you know, sustained sub freezing temperatures to even feel like, you know, I'm comfortable. And for sub zero, like really cold, I think same deal. I kind of forget exactly what's comfortable for me to, you know, dress wise. And for me, mainly, it's a matter of just ripping off the bandaid and going out. And, like, today I didn't because it was just too cold and I was being a little baby.
Well, I was being a little baby, too, because I was planning on going around. We had our training group run at 8, and I was out there for that. I didn't run with them, but they were out there. It was 8 below for them, and that started at 8 a.m., and they all finished their run. It was great. Definitely cold out there. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to give myself a couple hours, let the sun get a little higher, and then I'll go. So, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 a.m., something like that. Yeah, it was about 1:30 by the time I finally got out the door because I was finding all these little things to do instead. You know how you do that? You're like, oh, I think I better, oh, geez, I better clean this light socket now, you know, or something. Just any little thing that you could easily put off. Because yeah. You do, you get intimidated when it's this cold. You don't want to go. And honestly, when I was out there, it was fine. It was totally fine. I was actually a little overdressed, and I wasn't even cold at all.
Funny. Yeah, or like for me, especially if it's a weekend, you know, it's like 8 a.m. No, it's too cold. It's going to be so much warmer at noon. Then you look at noon, and it's like, well, it's forecasted to be like 2 degrees warmer by 2, so might as well just wait, you know.
Right. And now it's been so long that I haven't eaten the whole day. I better eat some lunch first. You know, okay, now I'll eat it. Well, now I got to let it settle a little bit longer, so...
Yeah. Is there really a difference between 1 degree and -5 anyways? Like, no.
Nope. But we play these little tricks on ourselves. And so I'm interested to see what happens to me in my procrastination tendencies tomorrow when it's also cold. And for that matter, the next, 5 or 6 or 7 days of cold. So we'll see.
It's kind of fun when you're out there, you know, and almost kind of this pride thing of like, yeah, we live in northern Minnesota, we run in every type of weather, you know, but it doesn't make it any less hard to get out, really.
Exactly. That's totally it. And yeah, there is a little bit of kind of like that bragging rights story that you can tell. Oh, I got out there, it's 10 below and that kind of thing. And honestly, for the vast majority of us listening, this cold snap that we have right now, we've all ran in colder than, you know, single digits below zero. We've been teens below zero, 20 below zero air temperature. I'm sure most of us at some point. So, you know, we've survived these things before, and we'll do it again.
And if anyone's listening and they haven't run in the sub zero, well, now's an excellent chance to get the bragging rights. Trust me, it's fun.
it's worth it. But speaking of like cold runs and bragging rights, I don't know if you saw, Mike, the Norwegian guy who did the half marathon barefoot just about a weekish ago.
No. Say more about that, Tony. That's quite the shout out there.
Yeah. So this guy, Jonas Felda Sveldrud, ran a 1:44 half marathon barefoot in Norway in the winter. Set the world record which used to be 216. As so, maybe there's been only two people who have ever tried this ever, because, I mean, why would you? But so yeah, imagine
what's the record? It's a barefoot half marathon in winter.
In winter in Norway. So he was out for an hour 44 minutes barefoot running. I've seen a little bit of video. There's a YouTube of it. I haven't watched the whole video, but yeah, it's like, from what I saw, it was kind of like the lake walk. It was like a paved path sort of deal, but more snow covered than what our current lake walk is right now. I mean, he was running mostly on snow. That's crazy.
Ouch.
I don't recommend that. So that's not a world record I would encourage anybody to try to beat.
Yeah. Well, plus that's expensive for us. We have to fly to Norway just to attempt it.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah.
I know you were talking about off air, Tony, kind of another shout out, and cool running feat of, a recent, sub 4 minute mile.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. I think probably a lot of hardcore running fans saw this as well. And some of our listeners know who Nick Willis is, the New Zealander middle distance runner, two-time Olympic medalist. I'm pretty sure he's won two Olympic medals. He lives in Michigan. He ran at the University of Michigan, and he's lived in Michigan, I think, almost ever since. But just the other day, maybe a week or two ago at the most, he ran a sub-4-minute mile for the 19th straight year, which I believe is also now a record, breaking John Walker's 18 straight years.
Wow.
So I'd be willing to bet he gets 20 straight years of sub-4. That's pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. To have that kind of speed for that long, you know, he's still competing. He's somewhat retired as a professional runner, but he still competes as an amateur. Mm-hmm. In fact, he did this in a race, I think he ran 358. So he was still even, you know, he didn't squeak by, you know, he still had some time to spare. So,
wow. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, 20 would be incredible. And then, I mean, I feel like if you miss 1 year, I mean, how can you get back from that? You know?
Right. Yeah. And I think he's 37, 38, something like that, 37 years old. So, yeah.
Wow.
So there was a couple of cool running things that I saw in the running world. Nothing super local. I feel like the local scene, we talked a little bit about this with, you know, the motivation being a little low at this time of the year, but like the local running scene, as it should be, is almost, you know, somewhat hibernated to some extent.
This is always kind of the off season.
It's kind of the off season, or it's like the very beginning of some training for, you know, people like that are running grandmas. They're just getting started with their training, a lot of people.
Right.
And, you know, like we've talked about before, there's just not a lot of races going on right now. So,
yeah. Well, I thought I would get going with some training, and which is why I got new shoes and I have a gear review.
Sweet.
Which I think I mentioned this on our last episode. I just gotten a new pair of Mizuno riders, which I've had several riders in the past. This is the number 24, I believe, wave knit style. And I was looking for something that was a little bit of a kind of a lower profile, you know, but still with decent cushioning, just to kind of feel a little zippy out there. And went up to Austin Jaro, which is our episode sponsor today. And they brought out, I think, two different pairs of Wave Riders and a pair of Brooks Ghost. And maybe another one that I forgot, but I've had the Ghost in the past too, and I like that shoe a lot. And ended up with the Rider, and so far they feel great. They feel like there's a little bit more underneath my foot than in past models, which have felt a little closer to the ground and really just kind of maybe a little speedier. For me, you know, that's fine because it's kind of early season, and really I do well with a little bit more beef under the shoe. And the wave knit is interesting. You know, I kind of have a high volume foot, and it's kind of like this whole sewn in tongue, but ultimately running, it's comfortable. And yeah, I'd recommend giving it a shot for anyone out there. Just kind of a good all around shoe.
Yeah, that one's been around for, like you said, 24 years now. That's always been a big seller from Mizuno. That's by far their best-selling running shoe. It's probably not even close. Yeah, I've had a few of those Wave Riders in the past, too. I don't know how many, you know, 8 to 10 different pairs going back to probably as early as 2003, maybe 2004, somewhere in there. I also just got some new shoes yesterday from Austin Jaro. So I ran in them today for the first time. I won't do a gear review because I only have 6 miles in them, so who knows. But I'm pretty confident that they're going to be super good. The Brooks Glycerin GTS, which used to be called the Transcend. So anyway, talk about that maybe on the next podcast and after I have a few more miles in them. But just got those yesterday at Austin Jaro as well.
Gear review coming up in a couple weeks. I'll be waiting. Great.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, what else do we have for this episode 33 of the Duluth Rundown?
I don't know. I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else. Do you have anything else, Mike?
I got nothing else. I'm really excited to get to our interview with Ben Troke, so maybe let's get to that, eh?
Let's do it.